It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
You never heard the Manor in Guelph?
No,
the Gretzky of Peels.
I have never heard of the Manor in Guelph.
Well, are you serious?
How would I know about a grimy strip club in
Don't
Guelph?
You talk about that place like that.
This is Overdrive on TSN 1050, the official voice of the Leafs.
Baby,
Hour 2 Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, Paul Maurice, head coach of the Winnipeg Jets, the Red Hot Jets, will join us at 5:30.
And we were just talking about the not-so-hot Buffalo Sabres, the worst team in the league.
I actually can't believe Arizona passed somebody. Like, I didn't think at any point during the year they would catch anybody. It's December 4th, and they're 3 points up on Buffalo.
Yeah, Arizona greased a point last night in Vegas, or against Vegas.
But they didn't win for what, like 10 or 12 games or something like that? Like, they were the joke of pro sports, and they have more points than Buffalo in December. I can't believe that.
Buffalo is, it's not going well there for them. And I don't see how that's going to turn. Like, they have to, obviously the guy's got to play a bit better, but it's more like, what is that team? I think I'm on record saying I thought they've got some, and I still believe they've got some good young pieces there, but the goalie's inconsistent. Their top guys are inconsistent. Their D haven't been very good. That Ristolainen, I mean, he put one on a tee for Crosby the other day. I don't know if you saw that one. It was, he tried to pass it up the middle, and Crosby just picked it off and went in and scored. Like, it's not good. And you've got a new coach, so I don't even know, Brian, if you could fire the coach, because by all accounts, it sounded like the guys had gotten Bylsma fired.
Well, and so I hadn't thought of that angle, because my initial reaction was, this guy, even though he's new and he's Phil Housley and he's a legend in Buffalo, you can't continue down this road.
No, but O brought up a good point the other day. Would you call Daryl Sutter?
He's not taking that job. Why would you take over that kid?
I don't think Daryl's ready to suck for 3 years.
No, I know, but it...
That's what I always think about good teams. It's like, why it's impressive how teams like the Leafs, their turnaround. Like, you think about Buffalo. Apparently, it's just open season. Buy whoever you want. Take whoever you want. Like, what are they going to be next year? Worse? Have you seen some of the goals that are going in, like the defensive play by these guys? It's a joke.
It's like they...
Eichel is at the top of the list. He was chasing Sidney Crosby out there the last couple of games. I think they had back-to-back.
Yeah, they did.
It's a joke.
It was awful.
And he had just had to get his $10 million a year. Just had to give it to him.
That's on the owner, and that's on the new GM.
That's the player, good for him, you know what I mean? Like, and if you look at it, Eichel last year, his points per game was 11th.
What? Guys like Carlson and Doughty, they've been smack talking. Oh, when I come up, my contract comes up, it's like, you're going to pay. Jack Eichel has no business talking like that or behaving like that at this particular point in his career.
But I don't think he did say that publicly, but they gave it to him anyway.
No, they're creating the monster.
But that's the owner.
Like, you give someone that much say and power that early on, good luck with that one.
That's on the owner. That's what, and I agree. The owner has said, I'm going to take care of this guy.
And, well, guess what? Some traits that are happening with the owner, Terry Pegula. All he's done is hire and fire people, and it's a revolving door for both of his franchises, the Buffalo Bills and the Buffalo Sabres. That's all you do.
Both teams are a
And apparently
joke.
They're over-involved. And...
But here's what they had going for them. I don't know if it's still the case. He saved the Bills in Buffalo. Like, there was, remember the Toronto, John Bon Jovi, Tannenbaum team that was going to buy the Bills and move them up here? And
right.
There were other reports of other prospective owners that were going to step in and maybe move the Bills to L.A. if they could get there in time or whatever. And Pegula's from Buffalo, from Western New York. He stepped in and he offered a small town security.
Yeah.
And I think that has probably given him a long leash. But at some point, people are going to turn and say, what the hell is going on here?
Well,
because both the Bills and the Sabres, they just turn over coaches, turn over GMs, turn over players, and all they do is lose.
I know somebody that went for an interview with Pegula about a position And all he talked about was communication, and the guy went back home, and he wouldn't call him back. So it's like, oh, that's great. You like communication?
But just not when it comes to him, I guess.
I don't know. It's just it's a gong show.
You know what, Brian, you said? You can't fire the owner. The owner can't be fired. That's his team.
I know, but the point is, Jamie, when does the owner pull his head out of his ass and say, maybe what I'm doing isn't working?
He should have done that a while ago, to be honest. And I don't know if this sounds ridiculous, but I don't think that team is as bad as it seems. Like, on paper. Mattapozo's a good player. Eichel's a good player. Ryan O'Reilly's a good player. Like, they've got some pieces. Kane's a good player.
Every team has good players.
I know, but I'm saying there's no structure within that team. Something has to give with that in that team.
You mentioned the word communication. Did you see Marcus Stroman's tweet over the weekend? Or I think it might have been late Friday night. Because the Jays essentially released Ryan Goins, and now he's going to be a free agent, and he's going to leave. And Stroman jumps on Twitter and tweets out, quote, "Crazy. Can't believe my brother Ryan Goins is gone. Even worse when you find out through Twitter, hashtag communication." So what, Ross Atkins is supposed to personally call every player on the team and tell them that we're about to make a transaction? Like, how delusional is that take?
It's very delicious.
Like, you guys have played on teams where guys have been cut or traded. Like, did you ever
sit there?
The only
phone call you get as an athlete is, we've decided to make a coaching change and we have a new coach. Or the coach will call you that's just been fired saying, I just want to let you know, thanks for everything, I've been fired.
And I would imagine in today's world, I was talking to an assistant general manager the other day, there's no phone calls. He goes, you try and phone a player? They have no idea who's people, like, they'll look at their phone and flush it. It's all texting or WhatsApp or whatever. You can get an instant response from a player if you text them. If you call them, they'll, like, flush that
nobody
call.
Answers. Left nobody
and right.
Answers.
So that's how people communicate. So I've had coaches fired. I've had GMs fired. I've been put on waivers. I've had teammates get traded. A lot of times you find out through a meeting. And if it's in the off season, you find out from a teammate. So my captain, for example, if something happened, I'll just give you an example in Calgary. Aginla would shoot a note or say, hey, just giving you a heads up.
Was this before the media had it?
No, a lot of times it's almost like instantaneous nowadays. Like Bobby Mack is sending stuff out. How many players, I don't know, oh, you could maybe answer this too and maybe rake it. How many players have said they found out about what's going on either with their own personal situation
or
their team
TV.
By watching SportsCenter or watching
but
Twitter.
That's my point about this, is that Stroman is
Who is he to think that he deserves a courtesy call to let them know that Ryan Goins is going?
Exactly.
He doesn't need
But that's my point. Like, why would you jump on Twitter here and now kind of throw your team under the bus or your front office, like, hey, why didn't you tell me before you did this? Like, what?
Yeah.
Who are you to be told anything when it comes to another player? Like,
ridiculous.
If they're firing Gibbons or the pitching coach or they're going to be doing something with him personally.
Right.
But, God, this is a massive roster. There's moving parts all the time. I understand it when players are close with someone else and they're not going to be teammates anymore. That could be difficult.
Right.
But to jump on Twitter, and if you have a beef, reach out to Shapiro and Atkins and be like, hey, next time, when it's a longtime teammate, would you mind giving me a heads up? I would really appreciate it. Why would you jump on Twitter, hashtag communicate?
You know what that is? That's today's world. What generation is that? X? Isn't it, what's the young kids' generation now?
I don't know. Yeah, there's X millennials. Or Y, I guess.
Is it millennials like you and Steph?
Well, millennials, it's disputable in terms of which age group it is. I think, like, it might be ages 18 to 34, 35, something like that.
Okay, so the next generation after that.
Well, that's Stroman, though. He's 26 or 27.
So that's his generation is the entitled one. And they're entitled to everything, and the answer is immediately. It's the communication age. And he wants that.
This is kind of like when he went down to that restaurant and couldn't get in and tweeted to get all...
Cactus Club.
Yeah, and that's what is going to happen here is he's going to have people that are going to be writing the Blue Jays Twitter account and being like, he's right. Why wouldn't you tell him? How could you not tell him?
And you know what Atkins can say? You work for me. Take a lap.
Right. And Atkins...
Just a hero idiotic move. But why are you surprised? He pulls this all the time. He's an incredibly selfish athlete. And he's got this chip on his shoulder. Height doesn't measure heart. Blah, blah, blah. Just go pitch and be quiet. It's nonsense.
Well, he's entitled to an opinion. He can speak out on different issues. I just don't see how he feels like this would benefit him.
I don't think it benefits him or the organization or anything. I think it reflects poorly, and it reflects poorly on the organization, but on him himself a little bit as well.
I don't think it reflects poorly on them at all, but I think people will take this and suggest that it does. People that don't know the way the sports world works, players, there's a 40-man roster. Atkins doesn't sit there and say, okay, let me get this straight. What do I have to do? I got to call 40 guys and let them know that Goins is being released before we release him.
Yeah.
Got to make sure I get them all on the phone so that they're all cool with it, and then we will send out the email to the rest of the baseball world to let them know. I'm sure Shapiro and Atkins are sitting there reading the tweet being like, what are you talking about?
What I meant
is, why would we write you or call you?
It reflects poorly because he threw them under the bus.
But that's the point.
Stupid.
But people that don't understand the way that works will take it and be like, yeah, he's right. How could you not do that?
Yeah.
And quite frankly, if you called up Ross Atkins, you may not understand exactly what he's telling you anyway. Did you see his tweet or his comment yesterday about that Shohei Ohtani pursuit?
Was it JFJ-like?
What, they love their presentation?
Well, yeah, the Jays were informed that they were not a finalist on Ohtani, and they're not alone in that. He wants to be on the West Coast. Yeah, the Yankees aren't in.
The Yankees media really rinsed him up.
And Atkins said, quote, we felt confident about our presentation, and we were given feedback by Shohei Ohtani's representation that we controlled everything within our power, end quote. What the hell does that even mean? You don't have any power. He's a free agent. You don't have power. There's no power. Control
nothing.
I honestly read that quote and I'm like, we controlled everything within our power. This was so simple for them to just come out and be like, we tried.
Well,
he wants to play on the West Coast.
He's saying we did our due diligence. We made a presentation that was off the charts good, but it was just a no guy.
Then say that. Everything Atkins says these days is like
cryptic
and
it's getting worse.
But what if they're in the room and he just looks at them and goes, it's not even a chance I'm coming to your organization? Like, maybe they did say that. Maybe his representative said that right to Atkins' face, and instead of throwing them under the bus, he cryptically threw it out there. We did everything in our power to throw it to make it happen, but he's not coming our way.
But I don't think, like, I get it when you have to sell your fan base sometimes.
We talked about this. The guy wasn't coming to Toronto anyway. Couldn't they have just got a vibe and said, do we even bother doing a presentation? The answer would have been no.
Probably not.
What the hell are you even talking? What are you trying to sound like you did your best? You had no chance anyway.
You had no chance.
I'm glad they at least tried, because if they didn't and the guy would be like, no, I kind of like Canada, and they didn't put up a presentation, how is that going
to
go over?
Oh, you have to put forth a presentation.
You have to put forth something, but...
But my point is, this is not one where you have to worry about backlash or you feel like you've got to convince people that your presentation was spectacular. Like, oh, they were really impressed with it. It's simple. He wants to be on the West Coast. We're not. We tried. What can you do? Wish him the best. Thanks for coming out. Not one Blue Jay fan would be like, well, I can't believe you didn't... sign them, or you didn't control more within your own power. I mean, it's just another example of cryptic speak by that front office.
And it's going to be like that the whole regime. And you know
Ray
what? The Leafs
today or what?
Nah, he's pushing back. If he's any more than a couple more minutes, then we're going to have to gas him, because we've got Paul Maurice coming up at 5:30.
Ray's probably in the air. Probably. Well, he has moved into a new house, and I bet you that...
Where is he in the air to? We don't have a game coming up. Or is he doing sends?
He may be doing sends. I saw today he's doing some pre-Olympic tournament stuff, too, that I'm doing. I'm on a panel, and he's calling the game. So he's a busy man. Plus, he's moved into a new house, and I guarantee you that is a source of stress for that man. I guarantee you it.
100%. We've all been through it.
I'm building right now, but moving in, I can
building
imagine.
A house.
No guy. Have you ever done it?
Moving. Marriage sucks to begin with, but you want to spice it up with that stuff?
That's a nice comment. Marriage sucks to begin with. Just right in the festive spirit.
You like it?
Yeah, I do enjoy it.
Oh, yeah? You?
I'm all right. Yeah, Steph's good.
You were Beg married Bundy. For how long were you married?
8 years.
And you hated every second of it.
I will never say that about my family, obviously.
Okay, right. So then why did you just say that marriage sucks?
I just don't think marriage is just a weird thing, man. It's a really, really weird thing.
So you're against
like marriage
it now.
Sucks, so it sucked for you? No, no, not for me, but other people.
I'll put it, Jerry's, that you get married in the next 5 years. 51%.
That I get married in 5 years?
Yep, in the next 5 years, you will be remarried.
How old are you now? 41?
41.
51%.
No, I give it a little, I don't know.
Why not get married at 50, and then you just, you do the old... marry a 25-year-old and ride off into the sunset.
Just coast in, eh?
Just
Robert Kraft.
In.
Or no, you're Larry King it out.
And then she takes all your money by 52, and you're then what do you do?
After the first dinner, it's like, there's your prenup. You don't get a cent.
It's all good. Ray would be snapped.
Ray's out.
I think we kind of have to get rid of him because... How long? Okay, now we get the hands. Like, what the hell?
This guy's a donkey.
Guys doing back here? All right, I guess we're going to talk.
Ray,
to Ray,
we got one question for you, pal.
I got a couple.
Where are you? What are you doing, Ray?
I've got five people that I'm talking to right now. You guys are on the low end of the totem pole.
All right. Well, why didn't we just gas it then?
Because I'm a professional.
Oh,
there
really?
You go. I guessed Ray. I'm going to tell you right now. I guess the reason why is you've moved into a new house. And you're dealing with your lawnmower being in your kitchen.
Almost that close. UPS truck standing outside. Guy needs a place to drop this delivery down. I'm like, I don't know, man. I go, can you put it in here? He's like, no, it'll sink. I'm like, because the driveway's not done. Now I've got a door open in the street that this guy just squeaked through. It is... I can't even describe to you the frickin' mayhem here right now.
But I'm sure you're very poised and not agitated one bit.
Oh, okay. Here's the thing. The delivery guy, super nice guy, slow talker.
Ooh, tough.
I don't have time for the slow talk. Move it along. Where do you want to move it? Drop it. Let's go. It wasn't happening.
Yeah, that's like an oxymoron. You can't have a slow talking mover. Like, they have to be.
Especially when you're in a hurry.
Right. Like, right.
Super nice guy. Got to give him full marks. Hell of a nice guy. However, wasn't in the vicinity of my brain space at this time. But we got her done, and I'm talking to you guys. What could be better?
Well, it's good to have you here. Brought to you by Valiant Financial.
Yeah.
Going to make sure we point that out.
Well, let's quickly then head back to the weekend. Saturday's game, Leafs, Canucks. What'd you make of it?
I was really impressed with Vancouver early, and like those long first game road trips, they go one of two ways, right? You get blasted out early because everybody's dead asleep, or you run out of gas. They ran out of gas, and when Toronto decided to take the slow road into the game, you know, Vancouver jumps on them. They have a really good first period, and then Toronto had more than enough control of the play to win the game back, like to get it equal, but they just couldn't score. It wasn't their day. But, you know, Babcock's right. It's like, I don't know if there's anything that irks a coach more than when a team comes out and they're half asleep. And I could see why. Yeah, they won the two games. They didn't play particularly well in Edmonton, really good in Calgary, but they weren't really good early in Vancouver. Cost them the game. So I can see why he wasn't super pleased with that.
Yeah, and they've been on the flip side of a lot of those outcomes. Like, I thought they just steamrolled Vancouver the final 40 minutes. I didn't even think it was close. Yeah. They couldn't get a break, you know, and Markstrom played well, and they couldn't get a break. And how many times have the Leafs been on the opposite side of those games where they maybe come out hot, pot a couple, and hold on for dear life? So what goes around comes
around.
Just
think of how many times Freddie Anderson bailed them out in the month of November.
Right.
And so it happens the other way, and so you have to take your lumps when it happens that way. But the concern would be that they just weren't, you know, that in two of the three games, they had significant portions of it where they weren't sharp. You know, they had a terrific first in Edmonton, and then I thought Edmonton kind of outplayed them until, you know, midway through the third when the game flattened out. And then they start in Vancouver, and they're sluggish or slow or whatever you want to call it, and they give away two more points. And it's not happened very often to them, but there's, I don't know, coaches want more. I think you know, you want more consistency. You want your team to be ready more often. But it's just, it's going to happen. It happens to everybody. It happens to everybody in different levels of time. Like some teams might do it for a week. Some might do it for a month. And Toronto hasn't done it very much, but you can see where that would stick into Babcock's craw for sure.
There was a Canadian matchup yesterday, Ray. What's more surprising to you, the Jets, who are now, I believe, tops in the league, or the Sens, who are just getting clubbed?
You know what? Oh, I'm going to say the Jets is more of a surprise to me, that they're this good. I mean, they're dynamic. They can skate. They've got a good mix of size and skill. They're getting excellent goaltending. Like, I didn't know that was, or think that was going to all come together for them like this. For Ottawa, last year, almost every statistical category, they were between 12 and 18 or 19. Like, they were just an average team that somehow, through great goaltending and, you know, they had something special, a lot of magic and a brilliant Erik Karlsson, they get themselves into the playoffs, and then they go on this run that gets them to the Eastern Conference Finals. But there's holes on their team. They make this trade. Duchesne's got, I think he's got 1 point since the trade's been made. And Erik Karlsson's playing at about 70% effectiveness. And their goaltending's been no good. So yeah. I thought it was a bit of smoke and mirrors. Noodles, we do a lot of games. I don't know what you thought last year, but I thought it was a little bit of smoke and mirrors for them at times last year.
Well, we talk about it all the time, Ray. You can't have a career year every year. And sometimes teams where everything just seems to fall into place. You mentioned, I think the team is a lot the same from last year to this year. It's just Craig Anderson was brilliant, and Mike Connan was brilliant last year, where it bailed him out on nights where you're like, man, this team's getting outshot, this team's getting outchanced, but there's the goalie, and then Karlsson or somebody, Stone or somebody goes down and scores a big goal, and they escape that night. Anderson hasn't been very sharp this year. Sharp's the wrong word. He just hasn't been very consistent. Condon struggled, and now you can see that seeping into a real poor, like this team's supposed to be good defensively. And you have to give Winnipeg full credit. I mean, they're a beast right now, but Ottawa's given up way too many chances. So it was kind of a perfect storm last year, and you're seeing this year it's not consistent at all.
So look, they lose Mark Mathot. You guys, you're not going to freaking believe what this UPS guy just did. He just ripped one of the wires out of the. I got to stop him now. Hang on. See you later, boys.
All right, later. I can't believe this guy. What just happened at his house? He didn't finish the sentence. What do you think he just did?
I know exactly what happened. His driveway's not in. Ray's driveway is not completed, so I guarantee you with all the rain in that, it must just be a mud pit. So he's probably directed this guy around his driveway, and he probably has ripped, like, backed his truck into, like, a power line or something hanging down.
He should have left it on the phone.
I know. Why didn't he?
Because he's going to swear.
On.
You know that Ray would get. He gets wound up. He's very cordial with us, but you know how things go in Ray's world. I can't imagine.
I need pictures.
The slow talker
video.
Is getting an earful right now.
Well, Ray on Overdrive was brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast
segment.
Approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca.
Poor Ray.
They got their money's worth today.
It's a rough one.
With that segment by Ray.
Either way, Ray's
but we'll
the
get more details tomorrow on exactly what's going on with his house.
Exactly.
Paul Maurice, we were just talking about Winnipeg and how well they're playing and what they're doing. He's going to join us, and we'll get his take on how difficult it's been the past couple of years to be patient in Winnipeg, yeah. When everyone was saying, hey, they got to start rearing things up and trade pieces and make moves. And now they are basking in the glory of a long, I don't even know if it was a rebuild, but they were very, very diligent in terms of draft picks and drafting and developing and
budget.
Taking their time and on a budget.
On a budget.
And it's paying off now because Winnipeg is first overall in the NHL. And Paul Maurice, their head coach, will join us next. Hey, I got a condo in Manhattan. All right, Mow Your Lawn Monday later in the hour. I'm going off the grid for Mow Your Lawn. I've got a Mow Your Lawn story that we've all been familiar with for a long time that I don't think enough attention has been paid to. We'll get into Tiger Woods and his weekend in the 6 p.m. hour. Lots of NFL news. Gronkowski suspended a game for whatever he was thinking he was doing yesterday afternoon. He lost it.
He just wanted a week off so he could go and party.
Maybe.
He got it.
He got his wish, if that was the case. So we'll get into the NFL as well in the 6 p.m. hour. Back into the Leafs, the Raps. TFC, big week for them. But how about the Winnipeg Jets? About the Winnipeg Jets?
Best team in the league.
Yeah, they are.
Best team in the league. After the first night when the Leafs went in there and beat them 7-2, and then they lost their second game, like 6-3, and it got ugly.
So well, a couple games in.
And then all of a sudden, they have taken off. And again, they're first overall in the league, and we head out there now and catch up with their head coach. Here's Paul Maurice. How you doing, Paul?
Gentlemen, how are you today?
We're doing pretty well. I mean, probably not as well as you. Take us through this. How did you get here? First overall in the NHL.
Yeah, you know what? It didn't start very well. As you mentioned, we got out of the gate and stumbled on some kind of old problems, and most of it, I think, was in some ways, if you could say, a hangover from the years past in terms of trying to chase a game. And it became kind of our identity as a good group of guys that want to win so bad. And in seasons past, if you're down a goal, down two, your game would just open up loose structure, and it didn't have any confidence at its base. And it happened in the Toronto game, and it's a long time ago, but it feels like it was yesterday. There were shots for 15-5 for us. Had a bad break on a shorthanded goal and then got caught napping on a face-off play. And the next goal, and that's fine. It should be fine. You know, you're in a 2-0 game, you got lots of hockey left to go, and that 2-0 score has presented itself a few times for us, and we've battled back since then. But we gave up a really bad D-zone coverage goal because we were blowing the zone, and it's 3-0, and then the rest of the game clearly got away from us, and there was some poor hockey played in that. But the same thing, we're up 3-1 in Calgary, and we have a couple of bad breaks, and our game just disintegrated. And then we've got that out of our game, you know, and winning helps, and being able to score a bunch of goals certainly helps. And from that point on, they got really good at just playing the next shift. I know that sounds such a cliche thing, but it was so important for our team just to play the next shift and not worry about the bigger picture. And for us, it's always been, you know, making the playoffs. So every loss was the end of the world. Every win, you know, you took that deep breath, and now they're just kind of into a real good level of grind here where they just go out and have a pretty good idea how we're going to play. And if it's not going our way, there's not a lot of panic in our game. But those first two losses were actually really important for us kind of dealing with our demons right away at the start of the season.
You basically went Rain Man on those two games, and they were 2 months ago. Like, breaking down details of goals. I mean, can you do that with every game you've played, every single detail?
Not all, but I remember those.
I hope
because
not.
They were so important. You know, I can tell you exactly on that that face-off play. Matty Perreault had a sticks across his shin pad, tops of his shin pads, and it wasn't a great one. But Van Riemsdyk just caught a bounce puck that came to him, and he put it in the back of our net. And I know exactly who blew the zone on that third goal, and it was Matty Perreault who was caught down low and lost D-zone coverage. But it was so symptomatic. What it was is I'd seen that before, right? We had just kind of seen that movie before, and we needed to get ourselves into a situation. So in game three, we're up 2-0 again on Edmonton, and Edmonton's still a real confident team, skating really well, and they scored two really quick goals on us in the second period, and then Nick Ehlers came out and cut through the middle and scored a goal. We made that game 3-2. That was probably, it's still in my mind, one of the best games that we played this season. Certainly Scheifele and Wheeler was one of their best games, dominant, and a real turning point for our team because we go into Van the next game, and it was a grinder, but we win that, and now we feel like we're a decent hockey team.
You can go through details, Mo, but has it not come down to the NHL now being a league where if you show me a big, strong, confident goaltender, you got a good team and a great coach? I mean, you look around the league, if you got the goaltender, you're going to have a chance to win, and you guys have found the right recipe in net.
Well, just just look at, like, even just this season with the teams that are either not where they're supposed to be, and one of the first things, attending isn't quite as good as it was. So it all bleeds together, but it certainly bleeds in one direction. If your goaltender is good, you know what it's like. Oh, Stanley, the coach talks to you differently, right? A defenseman makes a mistake, the goalie makes a save, you walk down the end of it and say, try to fix this, don't do that. If it's in the back of the net, he's either on the bench or you're barking at him. And that, it changes the culture of your games and how players interact with each other. You know, we got a lot more going back, tapping them on the pads and saying, hey, great save, and you line up and you keep the confidence. I mean, and more than anything else, the goaltender buys you time to build confidence. Connor is really good, especially in that middle October to middle November. We were kind of finding our game. He was really, really strong. But it was more the visual of it. He was calm in the net. He was just really solid. He wasn't going post to post and pulling him out of the top of the net. He was just square and straight. The rebounds we understood. And that kind of settled our whole game down.
With the head coach of the red-hot Winnipeg Jets, Paul Maurice.
We'll get into Mark Scheifele in a second, but we just have to ask, is there any guy or any player on your roster that has been in your office more than Jeff O'Neill was in his career?
The only time I remember Ovi in my office is he came down and chewed my ass off over something. And
yeah, you took a letter off my jersey after one game. That's what it was.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't remember it being that. I think it was something about ice time. I will tell you that Jeff went from being a third-line player to our best player in a span of about 2 weeks in the playoffs in 2002. He was playing okay at the start, but when we went into Toronto for that series, he was our best player. And on both sides of the puck, like, we beat Toronto in six games, and nobody ever met. We never gave up a 5-on-5 goal in that series because we had some good skilled guys, Owen, Sammy Kapanen, and some players like that. But we became a pretty darn good defensive team. We just weren't good enough to beat the 2002 Red Wings. They were just, you know, 11 Hall of Fame players, but. No, O did all his talking on the bench, and it was worth the price of admission because you can imagine his radio mind unfiltered wholly on an NHL bench. Some of the hardest times I've ever laughed were something out of O's mouth, and none of it could ever make the radio.
Well, we've talked about if the NHL had an HR division, that there'd be some complaints. But
no, that's the way it works, right? So you got Chris Pronger and George Parros working in player. You know, in that player disciplinary, O should take over the diversity training program.
Yes. Fly him in. He flies now, Paul. I don't know if you know that, but he flies.
I don't think that's in anyone's best interest.
No, I don't think so. Let's get back to your team. I watched your media yesterday talking about Mark Scheifele. Where do you think he's at right now as a player? And, I mean, we were talking about it last night. I think this guy could be in the heart conversation.
Yeah, no question.
Absolutely. He's been that good. Where do you think he's at, Paul?
Yeah, he's peaking into that offensive production area where you know, when you get a young guy who's really skilled, there's kind of no filter on what he'll try. He tries everything. And you can see the skill, and then he comes back to the bench and you say, hey, I really wish you didn't try that there. But now you don't have to have that conversation with Mark anymore. He's got a real he and Blake and whoever plays the left wing, they've got a real patience with their game. Now, they're still making plays at the offensive line, and they have every green light to do that. But his play selection now on what's smart and what we're trying to do as a team to be a better defensive team is really, really good, and it becomes more important because he's producing at such a high rate, right? So he hasn't lost production trying to make good plays. He's actually increased his production by making safer, smarter plays. And at the same time, some very creative, very, very high-skill plays. What he can do in a 10-foot area in terms of just moving the puck to Blake under a stick, over a stick, having that patience, when just to chip it and cut your losses, so to speak. He's really offensively defined himself as a player. I think he played the game in Edmonton, and we played a game in Dallas before we went into Vegas. Those were the two best games because he was also physically dominant in both those games. He's a strong kid, real strong skater. I think there's lots of room for growth in his game, but he seems to be hitting an area of offense that's about as good as we can expect from anyone.
He's been described as a hockey nerd. Do you have any intel on what this guy does or what that's all about?
It started, uh, I, think, in my first full year, and it might have been, it was in my first full year here, a real quiet hockey team, and they didn't spend a whole lot of time talking about the other team that we were playing. So what we did early on is we put their lineup on the board, and he'd go through each player, because he could give you as good a scouting report on every player in the National Hockey League as anybody, I don't know, in pro scouting, coaching. He'd do a better job than I would have on some of these guys. I didn't know how the league was when I came back. So he has always had that he's wired into the league. He watches everything that happens around the league. He watches a ton of hockey. If you go and ask him about a play, he's already seen it on the video from the night before, but he can tell you in exact detail what he was trying to do, what he was thinking. So he's wired to it. And then everything else about him is geared toward being a good hockey player. He trains with Gary all summer long. He's into his nutrition at a real high level. All pieces of his game, if there's a place that he thinks he can go to become a better hockey player, he checks it out.
With Paul Maurice, head coach of the Jets, you were one of those teams, you guys as an organization, that a lot of people were debating coming into the season in terms of what you were going to have, what you were going to accomplish, and just simply because of, you know, you made the playoffs a few years ago, the past 2 years you missed out, but all of the high-end talent we kept hearing about and homegrown talent, we just talked about Scheifele, obviously Patrick Laine, Hellebuck now, you've got Trouba on the back end.
Well, it's like a perfect storm. They've all come
right
together at the same time.
But you guys had to be patient, Paul. I mean, yourself and the GM, Kevin Cheveldayoff, you guys have been there for a while, Cheveldayoff longer than you, and guys like us yelling and screaming that you have to make a trade, that you've got to do this, do that, or the other. Was it difficult to be this patient, and how gratifying is it to see it pay off?
Yeah, you know what? There's a real, real strong plan to all of this. And I go back to the first conversation I had with Kevin. I was actually in Toronto working with TSN, and he had explained to me basically what the next 4 years were going to look like, and it's been exactly that. He just said, got some good veteran guys here, but we think we've got some really fine young players coming in. And if we got to take a look at what we've got in terms of veterans, and then we're going to play the kids. And that was the plan going into the last 2 years. We played them, and we played them. They didn't get benched when they made a mistake. They didn't get a free ride, but they played, and they played a lot of minutes. To the point now, they're all just about everybody like more ice time. You know, we're rolling closer to four lines because we have a little bit more depth. But I think we had a better season than people thought last year, and you can't sell it while it's happening, but our schedule was so brutal at the start of the year, and we lost about 130 man games to right about this time last year. We got devastated by injuries, and they kept in the fight, and they kept proving, and they kept getting better. We weren't good enough to win the Stanley Cup last year, but these kids played for the eye in the future that we would be a little bit better. We've had a good start here. We've still got a long way to go, in my mind, before we're a real hard team. We play fast right now. We play disciplined game, and we're on the puck pretty good. We've had good goaltending, and we have some real good shooters. But we still have a ways to go, and it's just time, right? All the things that we did last year in terms of playing these kids, we're doing it again this year. We're playing them more, a little harder structure on them, maybe squeezing a little harder, and on nights that those two or three kids that are playing on our top six aren't great, we've got a third and a fourth line now that have been good, and you get to win hockey games doing that.
Well, we look forward to seeing how you play out the rest of the way, and we always appreciate you taking time for us. Thank you for doing this, Paul.
Anytime, folks. Have a good night.
There he is, Paul Maurice, the head coach of the Winnipeg Jets, who laid a beating on Ottawa last night.
Ottawa. Yeah. They were struggling.
They were a nameth.
And our boy, Erik Karlsson, he's got the big threats about the contract. I don't think he's had a point in nine games, and he's minus 11.
Yeah, it's
it's weird timing because the deal is up after next year. Like, I know you can renegotiate this summer, so the sports world, the hockey world has changed because the big guys, they signed the
still
year
a while away.
Still a while away, and it wasn't him. It was Doughty who spoke on it. Naturally, right. People are going to ask Karlsson, but Karlsson was like, yeah, I'm getting every penny. I don't care if it's here, if it's elsewhere.
He didn't pull any punches.
No punches pulled.
See, I was never in their position as far as having authority or pull like that or leverage. But as far as that stuff, I would always, and in this business, you're like, I love the comment. I love talking about that comment, but I would always be like, that's for my agent to decide. I don't do that stuff. I'm not involved in that. That's his job.
Well, in today's world, salary disclosure, everyone knows kind of where people
just
are going
to
fall.
What level you're going to take it to.
Yeah. Right. And if you're going to stay at that specific team.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the debate. We know what he's got to get paid and what he's going to get paid. We can put a framework together for Doughty, Karlsson, Matthews, whoever. It's a matter of whether or not they take it. Yeah. We'll get back into the golf world and Tiger Woods this past weekend, back into the NFL, Gronkowski, what happened with the Giants today. But Mow Your Lawn Monday, looking back on a big weekend. We'll touch on that next. All right, listen to Overdrive every weekday for the Upper Deck Leafs lineup player of the day. This week, we're giving away a pair of tickets to the Leafs taking on the Lightning January 2nd at the ACC. That is the first of four meetings between those two teams. And for the 4 weeks leading up to the holidays and to Christmas, our winner will take home a full case of 2017-2018 Upper Deck Series 1 Team Triple Collectible Hockey Cards. And the theme this week is former Leafs who played in the state of Florida. Today's Maple Leaf lineup player of the day is James Reimer. James Reimer. The Upper Deck Leafs lineup is brought to you by Upper Deck Team Triples, available at ZypherEpic.com. So we mentioned earlier this afternoon that the Grit Grinder is back every day at 4:45. So we figured we'd throw a bone to our boy Regan down at the Irv.
Hey, what's up?
How you doing?
Can you call you sometime, Pocahontas?
You got a number? Want some of this?
How about a little of that?
All right.
Mow Your Lawn Monday.
So Mow Your Lawn Monday will take place around 5:45, 5:50 every Monday. And it is brought to you by the Irv Pub, featuring a made-from-scratch menu and a great selection of local craft beer in the heart of Cabbage Town. Stop by the Irv Pub and say hi to Regan and Jackie. Down on Carlton, our favorite pub in the city. Great food, great pints, great times.
Yeah.
So can I point out something? Because my daughter's obsessed with the movie The Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
Yep.
Which I don't think is age appropriate, quite frankly. She's two. It's the Jim Carrey movie.
And he's kind of creepy in that, too.
He is creepy.
Watched it the other day with my five-year-old.
I'm not sure I should be subjecting it to her, quite frankly. Because she gets a little bit scared at times, but all she wants to do is watch The Grinch.
Well,
this guy pulls off the greatest lawn mowing maneuver in cinematic history. He's a lunatic that lives on a cliff.
Yeah.
He's green. He's been up there for 30 years.
Yeah.
Comes down, steals everyone's Christmas, robs everyone's house.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, wheels into town and mows the mayor's lawn and picks up the hottest woman in town.
I know.
The hottest woman in Whoville goes home with the Grinch.
Well, just gets up on that mountain and goes to work. After
I guess. Like, I was watching it today. I'm like, how did this guy mow the mayor's lawn and pick up the hottest woman in Whoville?
Who cares?
After 30 years as the Grinch.
Because it's Jim Carrey.
Good for him. Anyway.
I'll kick off Mow Your Lawn with Mark Scheifele.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I mean, this guy's what? One, two, three, fifth in league scoring.
Yeah.
They pumped the Sens on the weekend, 5-0. And their team is first overall. I think for a long time, you walk into the bar as a Winnipeg Jets, and I think Scheifele could say, nope, you're coming with me.
I've got one for you guys. Tiger Woods.
Because he survived? He played well yesterday.
Yeah, he had a
bit
bad
of a jobber
Saturday.
On Saturday.
So what?
Bit
he
of
made
a jobber.
It through. What was his overall? Minus six?
The short game is a little Brian Hayes-like.
It was minus eight, I believe.
Yeah, he finished
either
eight.
Way.
He got it to 10, but he finished eight.
Okay.
All right.
Had a great weekend. Put golf back on the map for a lot of casual golf fans.
In late November, early December, even diehards were kind of like, nah, I'm good. I've had a fun season.
Yeah. All of a sudden, you're watching.
Tiger's a good call.
I think he's going legend. That's my guy.
I'm going with Eli Manning.
Oh, yeah?
He didn't even play. But look at what happened this past weekend. The fact that Ben McAdoo and Jerry Reese benched him.
You think he would get the sympathy takedown?
Yes. No, I think it's a power move. I think it's him walking into a bar saying, because I didn't play, these two losers are now unemployed. Because they sat down me, Eli Manning, who's won two Super Bowls, two Super Bowl MVPs, had a consecutive starting streak that we've never seen before in this city. Because they sat me, I didn't even want to play anyway. I've sucked for a long time. Our team is brutal. But because they did that, these two guys are out the door. That's an impressive icebreaker. Well, have you ever had someone fired because you didn't have to work? Think about
well,
that power
move.
We're
going to talk to Jim Fossil. And we're going to, what does this mean for Eli? Does he go back in? Does he want to go back in?
He's going back in, by all accounts. He's playing this weekend. Does he want to go back in? I think is the bigger discussion.
You hand out the middle finger to them, if I'm Eli. Don't do it. Don't go back.
He's too classy.
I know.
And he wants to continue to play. He's got to prove that he's still got something left.
Yeah, it's true. But
we'll talk about it around 6:25. Andy North, two-time U.S. Open champ, ESPN golf analyst, will join us. I want to ask him about, like, would there be an elephant in the room all the time on tour with Tiger because of the off-the-course stuff? Like, he walks in a room. Don't you have to be thinking, like, I've seen the DUI video 55 times, but how you doing, Tig? Like, yeah. Wouldn't it be hanging over everybody? It would be a little bit of an awkward elephant
in the room. Of course it is. I've been in situations where, on sports teams, where somebody's got in trouble and you walk in, you're like, usually the person would address it right off the hop. But these aren't his teammates.
That's the whole thing, right? All right, we'll discuss that and more coming up. Final hour. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.